Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, when you're required to do panel interviews, part two. The questions this cast answers are, should I do panel interviews? What if HR says I have to use a panel interview? Can I ignore HR's guidance?
Folks, if you're thinking about bringing Manager Tools into your company to do an on-site or virtual event for effective manager, effective communicator, effective hiring manager, so on. We've expanded the benefits associated with those, particularly for effective manager. We have given client attendees for client trainings enterprise access, which gives you virtually everything that a license gets you. Of course, you get show notes, you get roadmap, you also get the interview creation tool, and your team gets more access to our guidance to support them as they go through their process. We continue to try to expand what we're doing for client managers because we know when we train clients, we get to customize the work and you can talk about applying it to your specific culture. If you have interest in that, reach out to Maggie at manager-tools.com.
Okay, so we're going to put our own people on this panel.
Yes, that's the thing.
We're going to make sure that the people involved are not abdicating their responsibility because there'd be our people.
Yeah, I mean, we might have gone through all this work. We might have our process. We might have told HR, these are all the things that I'm doing. We might have asked our boss to support us. And all of that has gone, and yet we are still forced to do a panel interview.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen.
Sure.
But now you've got a new deliverable in your process to make that panel as useful, or at least as not unuseful, as you possibly can.
Right. Which means asking or even insisting that two or three or four of your people be on the panel. Honestly, I think it'd be really awkward for HR to insist on a panel and then not have anyone on the panel or even only one person who's not intimately involved with whoever gets hired. And, okay, that could happen. And so if we're going to be dark mini Mark here, it's panel fascism.
Right, panel fascism. I mean, how strange to be like, hey, hiring manager, who do you want on the panel? Oh, I've got these four people chosen. No, you can't have any of them. We're going to put our own people on there. Okay. Weird.
I've just finished rereading Dune because the movie's coming out. And this is how they take down the good guy. They put their own people on his team and they take them down. You don't want traitors on your panel.
You don't want traitors on your panel. You heard it here, folks.
We're really serious today.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's how you get your panel gets taken down, is by—
Exactly.
You get some bad guys in your panel.
Right?
It's dangerous.
That's the thing. We want our own plants in there. We want our good people on the panel.
Yeah.
And those people can use the interview creation tool questions. Right? They can use the behavioral interview questions, which means our folks on the panel, even though there might be a handful of people, two or three people, maybe that are imposed upon us on that panel, they won't be nearly as prepared.
Right.
If there's going to be a discussion then at the end about what actually matters, even a cursory review of the practices of interviewing are going to come down to your side. Because it was clear that your three people were so much more prepared, so much more invested in this hire than the other people were. We want you to have prepared questions that are behavioral in nature about specific criteria that have been predetermined to be critical to that role. So to Kate's point, you guys are going to be asking, or your team will be asking, specific behavioral questions. Other people are going to be asking about colors and rowboats. Clearly, you're going to be the deciding factor.
This is, and I think just to really be fully clear, the interview creation tool, the reason we're talking about it so much is because it bases the questions you ask in the interview on the skills needed for the job. So we're basically putting together a list of skills that someone in this role would need, right? Like, oh, you need to code in this language and you need to interface with customers and, you know, you need to create, let's say you have to close a certain number of customer service tickets. Well, those criteria build a set of questions that ask about that person's experience. And so we're basically gathering data about whether or not they have in the past done well at those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we think, oh, this interview creation tool is just something you should use. No, it's that we really want you to be gathering data about whether or not they can do the job. And all the science says behavioral interview questions are head and shoulders above everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And again, somebody asking about how you would deal with the rowboat problem, that's a person who says, oh, I have my favorite interview question of all time. I'm sorry, but I have never interviewed anybody or been interviewed for a job where there was a rowboat involved. So my ability to figure out the rowboat
problem.
Sometimes
people do jobs like that. There are people that have those jobs.
100%. And I would
love
to move to Venice. And guess what? That's not going to help us determine how good this person's going to be. That's amateur hour. One size of question never fits all. And having these questions prepared allows us to ask how this person will do in the role, which is the only thing we want to know.
It's the only thing we want to know. Anything else is a waste of time. Definitely.
Fully. And if the reason you're struggling with this process is because you don't have time, well, then by golly, I shouldn't be listening to rowboat stories.
Right? Exactly.
Or I really want to be blue. Cool story. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't... So frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So now we're going to talk about having your own people conduct their own interviews.
Don't let the panel interview become your process. That's what most HR people want in our experience. They want the panel's opinions because the panel won't have hiring recommendations. They'll have opinions. And they want those opinions to dominate the process. But of course, they won't recommend a decision process either, to say nothing of the interview results capture meeting. What's funny about all this is, again, none of the panel interviewers will act as if they have an obligation when the panel says hire, not hire. Right? I mean, they won't act as if they have an obligation after the panel is over to say hire or not hire.
Exactly. Instead, they're going to want to think about it, going to want to talk about it, consider, yeah, I mean, I liked them. I don't know. Like, I mean, they seem decent to me. Between the time it takes to set up a panel and then those people who want to ponder, I don't know, let me think about it. It's no wonder hiring takes so long.
Yeah.
Because the folks that we've brought into our process aren't folks that want to make a decision. Boom. Hire, no hire. They just kind of want to, you know, think about it a little bit. The way to assert your process over your hiring decision, let's be clear, it is yours, is to leave your hiring process in place, even when you're required to do a panel interview.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is if you're told you must do a panel interview, fine. Also have each candidate interviewed by a panel of the folks on your team who will interview that candidate individually. The panel then becomes one, hopefully small, step in the process.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be interviewed by these four people, and there will be a panel interview.
Yeah, and tell your people we're going to do it. We're up front. Don't complain, because that's professionally insubordinate.
Right. You don't like it, but here we are.
Sure. I don't like loading the dishwasher, but...
Every day.
Yeah, right? How much dishes? All the dishes. Just keep doing all your other steps in addition to the panel and rely on those steps to make the decision. And exactly. I would argue if you're able to schedule a full in-person interviewing day with your team, I bet you can get that done before they can get a panel together. Right?
Exactly.
Like, I bet you could schedule that and you could be like, well, I scheduled this whole day. Can you guys get a panel together? And they probably can.
Exactly.
Hey folks, Mark here again. I've got to tell you, it's November and we already have people signing up for conferences in early 2022. I imagine if you're like me, you're thinking about November and December and the holidays and so on. But I thought I'd just give you a shout out for a few of the events that are coming up in early January and February that you might want to consider. These are the in-person events. We have an Effective Manager, Effective Communicator Conference on 11th and the 12th of January in Seattle. We're in Austin starting 18 January for Effective Hiring Manager, Effective Manager, and Effective Communicator. We're then in Silicon Valley on 1 February for Effective Manager, 1 February and 2 February, Effective Manager, Effective Communicator. Boston, EMC and ECC, 8 and 9 February. Ottawa, Canada, for 22 and 23 February, Effective Manager, Effective Communicator. And then in early March, 1 March, Phoenix, Effective Manager, Effective Communicator. Some of those already have signups. I think we have 8 or 9 at a couple of those locations. So you may want to think about talking to your boss about getting approval if you need it from your boss so that you can come to one of our in-person events. Hope to see you there.
Now, saying that you've done this day, the four people on your team have individually interviewed, and you've done this panel interview.
Yeah.
We'd then recommend that you ignore the panel interview recommendations. Look, if you're forced to do a panel interview, but you've also conducted your own process, you already have all the information you need without even considering the information from the panel. Of course, if the panel agrees with what you're doing, awesome. That's great. But if they disagree, there are really only two options. One is they want to hire someone you don't. And the other is they don't want to hire someone that you do. And we have never heard of a panel forcing a manager to make a hire when the manager's process decided not to go forward with that person.
Never.
No, not one time. Ever.
Yeah, this is actually the golden nugget that blows up panel interviewers. It's the truth that really kind of just blows it all up. They admit that in the end, you're the one that ought to have the final decision because you're the one who has to manage them.
Exactly.
Manage the candidate if you hire them. Sorry. Them was the kind of... So if the panel recommends that you don't hire someone that you decided to offer, ask for their detailed input. We can virtually guarantee that they won't have specifics from the panel to support their conclusion. They weren't taking notes. They weren't really listening.
Right. They didn't really ask questions that were meant to get any specific outcome.
Yeah. I looked down once when I was on a panel at the person next to me, and on the side of their sheet, they were writing their grocery list.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, look, I'm always writing a grocery list because I'm hungry. And that's what was on the sheet. So this is where, as well, the interview results capture meeting really shines. They're going to bring their grocery list, their vague concerns, their worries, and you're going to be able to counter them with specific comments from your interview results capture meeting, which you're going to be able to say, like, actually, he said this, and have data and have words. And so when they say, oh, we're not sure how good of a communicator he is, you counter with, we found his communication excellent. When asked about a situation where he had to communicate creatively to achieve a difficult objective, he talked about having to have face-to-face conversations with one of his peers, but relying on email with another. In a different situation, he said that he learned with his boss that he shouldn't interrupt, but hold his questions to the end. But with one of his peers who was more animated and interactive, they didn't mind the questions that came as interruptions. Mm-hmm. We talk so much in behavior that I think we're used to hearing this type of communication. Like for us, this is dead normal only because we've been here so long and also listening and everything. But for most people, I think that this is really not the norm. I mean, this is just, that's not the kind of thing, right, that people say about other people's behavior, right? It's behavioral. Right.
Imagine you're that person. I mean, Imagine you're that person who said, well, I'm not sure how good a communicator he is, really. And that's the response you got. Are you now convinced? Because I am. I'm like, okay, well, my concerns are no longer.
Yeah.
I apologize.
This is another moment.
I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I give up.
Right?
Let me show you my data. Rawr.
Exactly.
This is another moment in the process where it will help you to brief your boss on the process so that, again, she can go to bat for you at her level with whatever HR meddling is going on there. And again, this isn't about HR, but HR telling us who to hire is meddling, whether we love them or not. This is, and we're just basing this on our experience, knowing how it is in most organizations. Again, if you find a great HR person, be their best friend.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other alternative then is if they recommend you hire someone, you've decided not to. And it's even easier. Just tell them that the candidate wasn't a fit for your team, or they didn't have the right detailed mix of skills that you were looking for. This level of specific knowledge protects any manager from having a poor hiring choice forced upon their team.
And one more thing, it's better to have your process completed to include the interview results capture meeting the same day as the panel is conducted. Again, this is that whole thing about, like, if you can be fast enough about it, the panel maybe won't
exactly.
get.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't let the panel happen and then get your interviews strung out over a week or two. That's not a good experience, because without your interviews and the details from your interview results capture meeting, you won't be able to counter the input from the panel as easily. Heck, if you're doing it over Zoom, do it before the panel.
Yeah, exactly. Do it as soon as you can. Have your recommendations there. I mean, we talked before about candidates disliking the feeling in the panel interview itself.
Sure.
But what about the candidates who feel like they're being dragged along this interview process for weeks? Because it does
100%.
Take a long time to pull a panel together. And they're sitting there, well, am I going to get hired? Am I not going to get hired? We talked about those candidates who ultimately dislike that panel interview situation, so say no because they think of your organization as one that's unprepared or as one that's disorganized or whatever it may be. What about those candidates that are no doubt also interviewing for other people?
Yeah.
But due to the length of time it takes for people to work themselves through your processes, they choose to take a different role with a different organization.
That would be so devastating.
Get your individual interviews done. Finish them. Then if they want to have a panel interview, fine. Chances are many organizations, HR is just going to say, you know what, forget it.
Even if you, okay, so imagine they hold the panel. When was the last time you got really good, like, write-ups from the panel quickly, right?
Mm-hmm, quickly.
I can imagine just you do all your stuff. They pull the panel together because it's required, right? Yep. That's an air quote, required, y'all. And then, honestly, what I've seen mostly is that the people on the panel don't do a good job of writing up or communicating their experience to the hiring manager. And then so essentially what's happened is all of the data from the panel just disappears. It just evaporates. Yeah. Like, it just fizzles out. Like, there's maybe one person on the panel who's professional enough to write up their stuff and send it to the hiring manager, or you're supposed to have, like, meetings with them. But honestly, what I've seen is that they do the panel, they leave the panel, they never tell you what happened.
Or HR collects it and puts it in, like, some sort of file, like an employee file, just in case they're hired. And then you have those notes from when they were interviewed in some sort of file folder.
Sure. It's like, I spent some time this weekend trying to find some old pictures of a dog, not like just like old pictures. But it's like trying to find the pictures that you uploaded from your old iPhone. It's like, you know, you have them, but where are they?
Well, where are
Same deal. Like, oh, I put this in a folder somewhere.
Yeah.
We never, I don't know. I have really seen it where the panel just kind of fizzles out. Like, you don't ever get the information. You end up just not hearing about it. So
you just don't hear about it. Exactly. All those notes, if there were notes, get lost. And it was a thing that we had to do.
And we did it.
No beneficial result.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We did it. We checked that box. And we don't need to look in the box, maybe. Maybe you don't have to. Hey, you did it. Did you do a panel? We absolutely did. And what did you guys do? We hired or we didn't hire.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's also too, I think, in terms of like trying to get the panel together, if people really cared about who you were going to hire or not hire, they'd want to be on your panel. And
yeah.
They'd be good about scheduling it and it wouldn't be so difficult. So I really genuinely believe from everything I've seen about panels that the people on that panel don't care. So they're not really going to ask what your hiring decision is anyway. And they sure as heck aren't going to remember if, you know, remember that person, especially if there's a bunch of people interviewing. They're not going to remember the candidate. They don't care if that person starts or when. Yeah.
No.
They're not invested in it. And so why should they be a part of the process?
Exactly. That is exactly it. So to wrap it, guys, panel interviews are the worst. Mm-hmm. They're inefficient. They're ineffective. Candidates hate them. And we get lower offer rates and acceptance rates when we use panel interviews. If we're told to do them, push back. Find out whether they are in fact required, because they're usually actually not. And if they are, put your people on that panel.
Yep.
Also, have your directs conduct separate one-to-one interviews. And wherever possible, ignore the recommendations from the panel. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're the hiring manager, and this decision is yours.
Mm-hmm. And it should be.
And it should be.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
That wraps it for us, y'all, and we'll be back next week with a new topic.